Well, folks, it is day four. Yes, that's right. I am keeping track. Today is day four. 4 days has gone by since indisputable evidence of a setup was released publicly. Still radio silence from every single major broadcast and cable news outlet. And we know why. They are all CCP-influenced, Soros-funded, Biden regime-manipulated propaganda machines or controlled opposition, one or the other. They don't tell the truth. They're allergic to facts, but not here. The information dam has let loose now, and the truth is rushing through this river of knowledge as we're being vindicated more and more every day as these lies are exposed, continuously revealing this reality that we live in, which is that the government has perpetrated fraud on the American people. The media knowingly participated in the cover-up of real crimes, and they continue to push this propaganda to the masses at every topic, in every issue. Meanwhile, crimes, real crimes, are being committed daily in a desperate attempt to put a lid on platforms like this one, to silence anyone that tries to display evidence publicly as the Biden DOJ relentlessly hunts down grandmas, selfie-taking Trump supporters, takes them into custody and jails them, holding them without bail. Disgusting. The media literally ignored a video released over the weekend by Red Voice Media, broadcast nationally on this show, which has now been taken down and flagged as false information. How can conclusive, indisputable video evidence be labeled false information? Where's the man that executed Ashley Babbitt? Who is he? Now that it's been exposed that the entire January 6 event was a Hollywood-like script written and played out by Democrats as a distraction away from the political assassination of President Donald J. Trump, the installation of a dictatorial and radical regime, and a globalist agenda to force subservience from everyone to the state. So-called elected representatives have betrayed the American populace by the masses, running for cover as they try to hold on to their political careers. But there are a few good, solid, liberty-loving, embracing, God-loving, America-first, brave patriots among them who will not stop fighting until the truth is exposed, and I am so thankful for them. I'm convinced that they know, these handful of people know, that this is the last battle in the war of good versus evil. The final war. One of them is Congressman Paul Gosar. He represents Arizona's 4th Congressional District, but he's been representing for an entire movement demanding truth and accountability. He stood up, he objected to the certification of the stolen presidential election. He's never stopped asking the tough questions in his effort to expose the truth, and he joins us now. Congressman, thank you so much for being here. And on behalf of American patriots everywhere, sir, thank you for fighting back. We really, really appreciate it. We need you.
We appreciate that, Stu. Thank you for having me on.
House Democrats are moving to censure you. They're relentlessly attacking Reps Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. They hate Louis Gohmert. Anyone that tries to bring the truth, anyone else that knows they're completely corrupt, as you're all trying to expose the hijacking, it seems, of an entire political system. Am I overstating this, or are these times as urgent as I have illustrated?
No, you're very right. I mean, tell me what actions the DOJ and the FBI, our law enforcement arm, have actually come to our rescue, you know, particularly when we've had the facts. You know, it's been null and void. You know, it's been all about the hierarchy and the democratic aptitude here, around here. It's not about the truth. It's about what they want the narrative to be. And that's why it's so important that we have this battle right now and make sure that we get good versus evil. And you know, they always say that perpetuation of evil comes when good men and women do nothing.
That's right. Who shot Ashley Babbitt?
Well, that's the question we want to know. And, you know, her death certificate is ruled a homicide. So, you know, if that was George Floyd or anybody else other than under the sun, we would be screaming at the top of our lungs to let the video go. We have over 14,000 hours of video. We ask for this to be held and put out for everybody to see, because we got nothing to hide. This will set everybody free. And the little snippet that we saw this weekend now shows, you know, the Capitol Police talking to people and then allowing them to go, you know, opening moving barricades. Once again, we need to see that this is public footage from the public building, the People's House, is paid at taxpayer expense. We need to put it out here.
So you
said it's got to stop.
So you've seen this video that you referenced. After seeing that video, Congressman, is it your opinion that January 6th was a complete setup? Was it a premeditated plan to distract away from all of these events that were occurring around the election?
What I believe is a few bad apples utilize this to their benefit. And it was aided and abetted by leadership. I'll give you an example. So when President Trump saw the huge gathering the day before over across from the White House, he instantly gave access to 1,000 to 10,000 National Guard troops. The FBI at their Norfolk division sent out a blast that they got wind of some type of problem coming. Supposedly no one got that. But this Capitol Police turned down an additional 100 Capitol Police officers. They turned it down. And who does that come from? Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi is responsible for the security of the Capitol buildings. So, you know, her ineptness, you know, when you've got an inauguration coming a couple of weeks after this, you're not beefing up. Every time I've been here for an inauguration, security is beefed up. So they actually aided and abetted, from my standpoint, that facilitation by not following protocols and threat assessment.
Well, you call it inept. I think it's intentional. And I think that that's going to come to light, and I'm pretty sure that you know that, which is why you're up there asking the tough questions and writing the letters that you're writing, asking for this information. So do you view these jailed patriots as political prisoners?
Absolutely. This is something that we fought for in the National Defense Authorization Act for over and over and over again, saying the indefinite detention of an American citizen with no crimes, you know, and justification, none. You know, we wouldn't even do this on our worst enemies, for criminy sakes. We don't even do this in Gitmo.
Yeah, we treat them better at Guantanamo Bay. And these patriot journalists, congressmen being held without bail. It's appalling. Yesterday I called for the Biden DOJ to immediately refocus their attention on the perpetrators of the real crimes and go round them up, the people responsible for this. So...
That's easier said than done, Stu. I mean, look at what we've endured over the last 10 years. Fast and Furious, Benghazi, IRS, unmasking American citizens, Hillary Clinton emails, you know, Russiagate, Ukrainegate, Obamagate, and Bidengate. Who paid the penalty? You know, so the American people are frustrated because their own justice system is not serving them. It's serving the elite.
It's sick. It's sad. You said 14,000 hours of tape.
Yep.
So why doesn't this administration immediately move to declass or somehow otherwise release all of the footage from that day? What are they hiding?
Well, that's my point. They're not going to release it because they got a captive audience. You look at their agenda. They have smoked through their agenda items. You know, they're leaving the United States in the dust on pursuit of a whole different type of aristocracy. They don't want the truth.
Well, because the truth damns them.
Well, it completely destroys our narrative. You know, same thing with COVID. You know, we had the perfect storm where they used the narrative of the sixth and COVID to really put a persecution on this country, to change its demographic, to change its outlook. And, you know, it's now beholden to the federal government instead of it being the government. They're beholden to this federal government.
You're there, mm-hmm. You know, and there's over 80 million Americans that are not in your seat.
Right.
Frustrated, as you said. I mean, you named all of the former conspiracies. Nobody has been held accountable. Yeah. No criminal prosecution for people that we know. I mean, we've seen blatant and obvious evidence of all of this stuff. I mean, 33,000 emails. Come on. Lying, the continuous lying and obvious cover-ups, the questionable deaths that are happening around these people. I mean, are these people bought and paid for? Is that why there will never be any accountability? I mean, are they owned, Congressman?
Well, that's a very good question. And, you know, inquiring minds want to know. You know, when you see no justification for no follow through with the series of events I talked to you about earlier, from Fast and Furious to Benghazi all across the board. You know, the American people, I met with people at a meeting on Saturday night, to a T, they are frustrated with our justice system. How does it work for Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the Democrats? You know, when you got Maxine Waters having security details from the folks in law enforcement to go out to participate in a protest. She actually gets protection from that. When the rest of us don't, something's wrong with this scenario. Something's wrong with what Washington, D.C. sees here versus the rest of this country. They don't want to see the narrative back in Podunk, Arizona, or Podunk, Wyoming, or Podunk, Texas. They want the old way of what's going on here. They don't want to serve the people. They want to serve their interests.
The sitting president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, literally said to be peaceful and patriotic. He that was his quote. He encouraged people to be peaceful. A complete sham impeachment took place to remove him from office for telling people, encouraging people to be peaceful and patriotic. Maxine Waters from California flew here to my city in Minneapolis and encouraged people to become, quote, more confrontational. That is what inciting a riot looks like.
Absolutely.
And she's just exempt from any accountability for that whatsoever.
Oh, but don't you remember the Eric Holder? When they go high, we go low.
We kick them.
Over and over again. And this, and there's no equality to the application of the law. That's why I keep coming back to this, is that the law has to answer for itself. It has to be responsible. Let's hold one person accountable. Why did they get away with this narrative of Officer Sicknick, being killed by the people? It's natural causes, folks. Natural causes.
The media has not corrected themselves. They just move on to the next lie, to the next propaganda thing. It seems like they're just spoon-fed a narrative every day because they all stick with the same thing. They call them Trump cop killers. I mean, I played a montage yesterday. It went on for 3 minutes, Congressman. Trump cop killers, cop killers, cop killers, cop killers. Brian Sicknick dead from fire extinguisher-wielding Trump supporter mob. No. Complete and total lie, but they don't ever have to correct the record.
And that's why it's so important to actually bring forward those people that were the victims. There's only one victim, of the loss of life, and that's Ashley Babbitt. Here's a lady that does not have any weapons. She's surrounded. She's a veteran. She's wrapped in an American flag, and she's shot indiscriminately. That's why we ask, what are the rules of engagement? Well, that's the same questions that Black Lives Matter asked in Minneapolis. What are the rules of engagement? What are the rules of engagement here? Why was deadly force used and not when they tried to apprehend them? Why? I mean, why is it that those that were arrested that had breached the Capitol, how come they have not found any weapons?
And many of them that were arrested, Congressman, didn't breach anything. They were let in. They were ushered in like a guided tour from authority figures, police officers.
Exactly right. But we'll get away with the narrative when we threaten people, like when we want to say that we're going to censor you, Paul Gosar and Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's what they tried to do to intimidate. But the truth will set you free. And that's what I want your listeners to demand. Get the truth out. No matter how it falls, get the truth out. And tape doesn't lie. Put the tapes out. We've actually asked them. We were the first office to ask for them to be held so that there no altering could be done and no loss of it. Because we tend to lose things kind of like we did in the IRS and whatnot. So we want those that set free so the American people can make their own mind up and demand a justice for Ashley and for those that are indiscriminately detained.
I got to ask you one more question before I get there, just to wrap up on the Ashley Babbitt thing, because I'd kick myself if I didn't say this on the record. And I don't expect you to comment on this, Congressman, due to your position, but I am going to speculate this. In 18 years of working in the criminal justice system, investigating people who want to get away with crimes, I noticed that there's one thing that's consistent. When somebody is guilty of something, they will first of all never admit it, number one. Number two, they will try to delay evidence. There's no reason to delay other than the fact that we're going to find something out here on this Ashley Babbitt execution that is something other than what the expected narrative of a DC Capitol police officer shooting her, being scared, whatever else the case might be. I think that there's a whole lot more to this than that. We don't even know if this person was a Capitol police officer, for crying out loud. Were they special forces? Were they an elected representative? Who were they? We don't know. Yeah. But I think there's a lot more to it.
I think that's why it gets back to my point. What are the rules of engagement? You know, this wasn't like the first time. You had the D.C. riots early last summer. So that, you know, and their mobly rule that senators had to go through and members of Congress when they listened to President Trump outdoors. So, I mean, so what are the rules of engagement? Before you use lethal force, you're supposed to do a whole lot of different things. Now, I have to look at it from the vantage point of this person who actually made that shot. Their life is forever changed. But so is the family of Ashley Babbitt. So is Ashley Babbitt. She was her life was taken from her. A long expected life, a patriot. She's wrapped in she's a veteran for crying many sakes. Her family deserves the answers just like anybody else does. That's all we're asking.
Well,
let the record set it to be set straight.
And I hope that I'm wrong, but it's my opinion that they needed a death that day, and they weren't going to get it from peaceful and patriotic Trump supporters. It had to be manufactured. You're a strong fighter for election reform, election integrity, transparency, accountability, just plain fair elections. The audit in Arizona, it's been buried by legacy media, to nobody's surprise. It's been disrupted by corrupt progressives. Update the people. Where are we at with this audit? And then two-part question before I let you out of here. Will it become contagious? Are other states next to take action like this?
So the audit has taken a timeout this week because of graduations, because we had a big problem in where we were able to conduct this audit. So it's in an old Coliseum where the Suns used to play. But that's a big place for graduations for like colleges and big high schools. So they're going to be resuming. They were supposed to have a meeting between the County Board of Supervisors and the State Senate President, Karen Fan. I don't know if that's going to occur. There is a fight right now over the routers of the machines. So they conducted the machine evaluation. Now they're hand counting. There's problems because each box is thick to contain 200 ballots. There are ballots that are short. Some are containing 160 ballots, some are 170, some are 140, right and left. There's problems here. What we want the truth. And the way you get to the truth is by counting the ballots. How many ballots actually were cast? If they were permanent mail-in ballots, they have to have folds. There are ballots that have no folds, so we're permanent mail-in ballots. We got problems. And the only way you can solve those is by looking thoroughly with this forensic audit and changing that direction. That's why I hope the state Senate and state legislature doesn't go into sine die, which means they go out of session, until after this is complete so that they can make those adjustments accordingly. You know, we've done mail-in ballots now for almost 30 years. We see the fraud all the way through, but particularly in four counties, Maricopa County, Pima County, which is Tucson, Flagstaff, which is Coconino, and Pinal County, one of the fastest growing places in the country. Something's wrong here with this ballot. And it's not just me, it's experts along the way. So, you know, I think this is going to be contagious. I think you got a judge in Fulton County who's looking to see what Arizona comes up with. And you got Michigan State standing. You have a judge that has already ruled that who is allowed to vote without the legislature's consent are invalid ballots. You got Pennsylvania starting to move again. This isn't over by a long shot. So, you know, I believe in Arizona. I believe in the people that are there. And I will tell you, they're under immense scrutiny. There's over 100 Democratic attorneys that are fostering angst every day at them.
George,
so say your prayers so that we get to the right answers. I just want the right answers, Stu.
Yeah.
That's all I want is the right answers so that the public, the citizen, that voter, when they cast that vote, they know where it's going and to who it's going, and they have the trust that it's going to go to that person properly.
Yeah. George Papadopoulos rightly said all roads lead through Arizona. So the whole country is watching what happens in your state. Congressman,
stay the course.
I really appreciate your being candid. You're being brave. And on behalf of over 80 million just real appreciative patriots, thank you. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate your time today. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you, Stu.
50% off site-wide right now at AmericaFirstOil.com. America First Oil is the home of Verve Forever CBD products. Verve Forever is a veteran-owned CBD company. 50% off site-wide. We're talking the bath salts, the skincare products, the oils, the pain creams. You can use it for muscle pain, joint pain, ligament pain, migraines, allergies, PTSD, ADHD, stress, anxiety, all of these different things, relaxation. I mean, you name it, it can be treated with CBD. If you don't know anything about CBD, go to AmericaFirstOil.com right now. Educate yourself. If you're already up on the CBD game and you're not doing business with a veteran-owned, patriot-owned company, then you need to come over to Verve Forever. It's owned by a veteran. It's owned by an America First patriot. Everything is sourced right here in the United States. The CBD farm is in Colorado. So you need to get over to AmericaFirstOil.com right now. Use the promo code VET50 for 50% off site-wide. That's a huge discount. 50% off site-wide at AmericaFirstOil.com. Make sure that you tell them that Stu sent you when you go to AmericaFirstOil.com. The 9-minute video that shook the entire globe seems to be news of the old. George Floyd's death, although tragic, was completely avoidable. And we've highlighted several obvious alternative outcomes of the events of May 25th had Floyd, say, cooperated with law enforcement, chose not to ingest a 3 times lethal amount of fentanyl, had he not engaged in criminal activity habitually or resisted police during those encounters that are prompted by those illegal actions. But we know that that didn't happen. And whether or not you agree with the department-approved tactics of Officer Derek Chauvin isn't what I care to debate here, not today. Instead, what I'd like to do is ask the question about why a person responsible for the outcome, a person who had the opportunity to change it, a person that violated policy, which directly contributed to George Floyd's death, has not been held accountable. Why supervisors at the city of Minneapolis know about this, but have suppressed the facts, and why someone appears to be covering for those actions. Now, if you watched the trial in its entirety, you may remember the testimony of Jenna Scurry. She's the dispatcher employed by the Minneapolis Emergency Communications Center, oftentimes referred to as MECC. She was responsible for the response of police, fire, and medics to that scene in front of Cup Foods at 38th in Chicago. She was the principal dispatcher for the call, and she had certain responsibilities that were extremely important for many reasons. But Scurry violated policy, and nobody's talking about it. Why? Now, the Minneapolis police dispatcher is the primary position for dispatching calls for service, tracking of the MPD officers and their statuses, updating CAD with all information and or activity related to each call for service, and promoting officer safety. The dispatcher's role in the delivery of public safety services includes matching available resources to the calls for service so that the public can receive timely and efficient service. But this didn't happen on May 25th of 2020 because Jenna Scurry violated policy. The police dispatcher responsibility policy is clearly outlined, and Scurry has been trained that each decision made by personnel working in these positions is based on policy and procedure and officer safety. The radio and CAD, in that order, are the primary responsibility. That's written in bold letters right here. Of the dispatcher when assigned to a dispatcher position. Remember that, because we're going to come back to it. Now, we have seen countless angles, hours and hours of video, body cam, surveillance footage, and all kinds, hours of testimony surrounding the events of that day. So it really surprises me that nobody asked Jenna Scurry why she was the crucial decision maker in what resources were allotted to protect her officers and save George Floyd, but failed to do so. Why did she violate policy, and why wasn't she asked about that policy violation when she was under oath, on a witness stand, at the world's most prolific trial? The full body camera footage is publicly displayed on nearly every median you can search for. There's no excuse for not finding it. It's everywhere. And the timeline of events and the factual circumstances that surround the call for service just don't line up with the decisions that Scurry made, which directly contributed to the death of George Floyd. But nobody's talking about it, so we will. At 2:19 hours and 48 seconds, that's just after 8:19 p.m., officers requested EMS code 2, which according to Scurry's testimony, which I can also confirm with my personal knowledge of police procedure, means no lights or sirens, kind of a routine response.
Okay, breathe. Stop moving.
Mama. One of the front pouches.
Mama.
On my right side bag.
Mama.
You're the rest guy.
Oh my God.
I can't believe this, man.
Mama, I love you.
Those requests were made for injuries resulting in Floyd bleeding from his mouth. The officers observed that he was bleeding from his mouth. He had a head injury. I will tell you why that's important. At 20:21 hours and 20 seconds, that's just after 8:21 p.m., that's a minute and 32 seconds later, police asked their dispatcher, Jenna Scurry, to step up the response of the medics.
Please, I can't breathe. You're doing fine. You're talking fine.
The officer asked for medical resources to respond, quote, code 3, which means emergent, with lights and sirens. The cops wanted medical attention to that scene right now. Now, since making this policy violation discovery, I contacted 6 senior Minneapolis police officers that I know personally, 3 of which are sergeants and have many years of experience dealing with uncooperative suspects or other situations that require medical response. All of them, 100% of them said the standard procedure for code 3 medical requests is for dispatch to add fire to the call, meaning rescue rigs would automatically be sent to the scene unless police specifically say that they don't require rescue or if they cancel them on their own. It's been the ongoing procedure for as long as these cops can remember. Now, I reached out to a senior dispatcher from MECC also, in confidence, who told me, quote, in the case of Floyd, both would be started, meaning EMS and fire, and it would be up to the cops to cancel fire, which lines up with what all of the cops told me. But in this case, they wouldn't because fire often beats medics to the scene, unquote. So when I asked another Minneapolis police veteran about this, they responded, quote, of course, both should have been. From the cops' perspective and from what they were dealing with, it's easy to focus on all of the assholes yelling. By then, the cops assumed that they had asked for medical code 3 response, which would include any fire or medic who could get there first, followed by 3 exclamation points. The source then continued by saying, quote, I have never had a call where both Minneapolis fire and medics are not dispatched. 8 out of 10 times we cancel fire and keep medics en route, but both are automatically dispatched. So why is this important? Well, first of all, let's take a look at Fire Station 17. This fire station is 6 blocks away, and rescue would have a response time of less than 3 minutes. Rescue would have arrived a long time before Hennepin County Medical Center EMS, and medical interventions would have started on Floyd immediately. Now, as an added frustration and complete disregard for the critical function of her responsibilities, Scurry testified that she was watching the milestone cameras and that she felt that something was wrong, yet she didn't communicate with her officers for another 5 minutes and finally did so only to update them to advise them of the EMS location.
Revise what?
A code 3. Acknowledge that.
Five minutes. Now, if something wasn't right, Wouldn't the first step to take be to communicate with her officers to find out what's going on, what was needed, what she could provide them with? Now, these are just common sense questions from a lay guy, but what about actual policy? When medics were first requested, the officer indicated that Floyd was bleeding from his mouth. This is a head injury. According to Minneapolis Emergency Communication Center official policy, it couldn't be more clear that Scurry was in violation of these clearly written directives pertaining to the criteria for adding rescue when not automatically part of the response. The very first bulleted point on this policy says rescue should be added for spinal, neck, or head injuries. Floyd had a head injury, and the officer told her that. She didn't add rescue then. Then, just over a couple of minutes later, when the cops asked for emergency response and requested medics step it up to code 3, she still didn't add rescue. Why? During her testimony, Scurry explains what code 3 means.
There is a code 3.
And what does that mean?
Code 3 means emergent. So they need them as quickly as possible.
She's very familiar, it would seem, with the term, but yet she did not allocate the appropriate resources the officers were asking for from a common sense or from a procedural or policy standpoint, as clearly laid out in the policy that she is directed to work from, the policy that she has been trained on. Scurry also testified that she couldn't give the camera her full attention because she was going back and forth between her screen, adding remarks, dispatching, yet she only dispatched two other incidents the entire time.
Was in and out of looking at the cameras and then going back to my screens to make sure I wasn't missing anything, added remarks, getting out calls, and then would go back to the screen again.
And still didn't add rescue and still didn't talk to her cops for over 5 minutes. Remember, according to police dispatcher responsibility, as clearly outlined in the official protocol, the radio and CAD, in that order, are the primary responsibility of the dispatcher. So why the radio silence? And why no rescue? Why the policy violation? And more importantly, why is it being shoved under the rug when Scurry's violation of that policy contributed to the death of George Floyd? And had she acted in accordance with the policy and added rescue, who were only 6 blocks away, George Floyd would have been rendered the emergency medical attention that her cops were begging for. Even more disturbing, if it can get more disturbing, is the call to her sergeant. Now, this didn't happen until 20:30 hours and 44 seconds after 8:30 p.m., 12 minutes after they took Floyd out of that car, and 2 minutes after EMS requested rescue to start to the scene, which they should have never had to request, as rescue would have arrived on the scene before them had Scurry followed policy.
So what did you start thinking at that point?
Something might be wrong.
Why?
We don't get these videos often, or, you know, video at all, unless it's looking at the bridge or just looking at people walking. We very rarely get incidents where police are actively on a scene. And they had changed. They had come from the back of the squad to the ground, and my instincts were telling me that something's wrong. Something has not right. I don't know what, but something wasn't right.
If she was so concerned, like she testified, why did she wait so long to call? Now, I reached out to John Elder, the public information officer for the Minneapolis Police Department, for comment. Elder told me that 911 is not a function of the Minneapolis Police Department, but rather an enterprise member of the city of Minneapolis. The Stu Peters Show has reached out to those personnel, but as of the time of this broadcast, we have not heard back. We would love to have somebody come to comment. 911 dispatchers are often taught that seconds save lives. In this case, rescue would have made that difference. That 9-minute video would have never existed because those 9 minutes would have never occurred if that dispatcher, Jenna Scurry, had taken her job seriously and followed policy. It's likely that George Floyd might still be alive. People oftentimes ask me how to support this platform of truth. We appreciate that. We want to stay on the air, and obviously it takes money to run any successful business. So we appreciate the donations, which you can make, by the way, by visiting StuPetersRadio.com. But the most effective way to support a show like this is to support our sponsors. You buy their products, you get something in exchange for your monetary donation, and then those sponsors continue to advertise here, propelling the platform. The newest sponsor here on the Stu Peters Show is StepOnSocks.com. You get three pairs of these high-quality, Patriot-designed, 100% cotton, no-slip socks with the names of all of our enemies clearly written on the bottom so that you can step on these snakes all day long. I like to come into the studio, put my feet up on the desk, and show everybody working here that I'm stepping on the snakes. I'm not a sheep, and I'm going to step all over the Obamas, the Clinton crime family, Fauci and Gates that want to end our freedom and our individual liberties, tearing apart the Constitution, the installed Biden regime, Nancy Pelosi. These people are snakes, and I step on them all day long. It's funny to say that a pair of socks can actually give you some sort of a sense of empowerment, but it really does, and they feel great. 100% cotton, high quality, three pairs for $17.76. They're 100% Patriot designed. Go right now to steponsocks.com. If you want to support this program, if you want to show your patriotism, and if you want to step on these snakes, get the Stu Peters discount when you go to steponsocks.com right now. Three high quality pairs of socks for just $17.76 at steponsocks.com. The Stu Peters Show is on, broadcasting live weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern on iHeartRadio. If you want to catch our live broadcast, simply go to iHeartRadio, search the station Mojo 50. Now, that station is actually the powerhouse of truth. Many different great programs on there. A couple that I can think of right now are this one and this one, which can be found at 6 p.m. That's 6 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. Now, also, we are all over the place. We have received a ban from posting on Facebook. We can no longer go live on Facebook. So for those of you who normally watch us on Facebook, first of all, we appreciate you being there, but we want you to know that you can always find 100% of this uncensored content at StuPeters.tv. Very important that you go there. Also, this program available wherever you find your favorite podcast. We have a YouTube channel. We have a Rumble channel, but we have to carefully cater to those communist guidelines so that we can remain there for a portion of our battle to keep our awareness in the forefront. But if you want the nuts and bolts, if you want the brass tacks, if you want to see how we really mean business, then you got to get over to StuPeters.tv. Every day we are joined by the political commentator and, by the way, best-selling author of the book Taking Back America. That's what it is. Deanna Lorraine, and she's a Stu Peters Show contributor. Deanna, you were mentioning to me that you have seen this unprecedented push about masks, but in a different direction. Now, masks have been a flashpoint during the whole plandemic. So what have you today for us?
So today what they're discovering is there's a brand new phenomenon around masks. And it actually is very anti-science, but surprise, surprise, the whole issue around masks from the beginning has been anti-science. So now the big issue, the big push is the fact that there are new CDC guidelines, the new CDC guidance, because people are just waiting at home in their basement, waiting for that guidance from the CDC in order to know how to go to the bathroom and pull up their pants every day, right?
See, I just wait for Colin Kaepernick to tell me what to do. You know,
Colin,
or
what's going on?
Or King James, you know, LeBron, we have to wait. That's what I normally do. And then, of course, the ladies from The View. I put a lot of stock in what they have to offer as well every day.
Right. The View, LeBron James, and the CDC, I have them all on speed dial, so
yes,
I know exactly what to do every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't do anything that defies that.
No.
So these people have been waiting all year, right, for guidance from the CDC. And then guess what? The CDC finally says, hey, if you're fully vaccinated, then guess what? You don't have to keep wearing that mask. You can throw that mask off. And you
hallelujah. Yeah, take them off. Follow the science.
Right? Woo! Yeah, you could go streaking now at this point without a mask. So you would think everyone would be celebrating. But what they found is the opposite, actually. There's a lot of people, a great percentage of these mask wearers, that are still clinging to their masks for dear life, Stu, as if it were this complete security blanket, right? They can't go anywhere without their mask, and they refuse to take off their mask. And in fact, a lot of these people are saying that they're going to continue to wear a mask forever. They don't want to listen to the science. They don't want to release their mask. So what's interesting is this. I find this interesting because, number one, it's so the ultimate symbol of cuckery pure cuckery and slavery that these people have just bought hook, line, and sinker, these total slaves. They have got this nonsensical mask, wore it all year long, everywhere, even when they're alone in their car or walking their dog in their park. And they've said, yeah, I've bought into this and I'm not going anywhere with this mask. I'm going to keep it on to protect myself because they think this little piece of cloth is going to protect themselves from everything else and from COVID, et cetera. So they're so now conditioned and trained to be compliant little slaves that they're too far gone. They can't think outside of the box. They can't, even when someone else tells them that there's nothing, there's no threat there, they cannot relinquish this little piece of protection. And it shows how sophisticated and how successful this brainwashing has become, because we know that fear is the greatest weapon that these Marxist, Satanist globalists use.
It'll move the masses. It'll make the most alpha male, the strongest person. I mean, we're talking like Delta 6 type, you know, SEAL team, the strong. I mean, it will make even that person do things that they normally would not intentionally do. Fear is an emotion that people cannot escape.
Yeah. Right. And luckily, people like you and I, who have our heads squared on straight, we did not buy into that fear. So we don't have these kinds of psychological issues and trauma, PTSD for throwing our masks off that these other slaves do. But that is what they're doing. The other thing that's interesting to note is that their plan, the deep state's plan, their orchestrators of this COVID, they didn't quite perceive this. So this is kind of not going fully according to their plan, which is kind of funny. So at first they said, no, we're just going to push through the news, through the propaganda, that they're going to wear these masks regardless. Remember all of that. Remember that all the news articles and the pundits going on CNN saying, even if you're fully vaxxed, you need to still wear your mask.
Yes.
And masks will probably be a thing forever. It's going to be the new normal. Well, guess what? People didn't like that so much because they thought, well, what's the point of getting the vaccine then? If my life is going to be the exact same as the old normal, or this new normal where I still have to wear a mask, still have to social distance, can't do anything, then what the hell is the point of the vaccine? And Joe Biden didn't sell it very well, by the way, when he's going out in the gardens with Dr. Jill Biden and they're kissing each other through masks when they're by themselves and they're fully vaccinated. And every time they go on an interview, they're still all masked up, but they say they're fully vaccinated. So this was like the worst sales and marketing pitch ever for a vaccine, by the way, because why would you go and get something if everything is going to be the exact same? So when they realized that that wasn't working, then they had the CDC puppets go out and say, hey, actually, you can throw your mask off if you're fully vaccinated. You can do some outdoor and indoor activities. Okay, great. And now they're a little bit distressed, Stu, because this isn't quite going to their plan, because now people are still petrified to go get their jab because they realize, oh, no, you know, the trauma was too deep. The fear was too deep that they conditioned in these people. And now it's this marketing plan for the vaccine is also, it's kind of flopping. It's kind of plateauing right now, and they're really livid about it. Not enough people are going to get those vaccines, and they're doing everything and everything, including McDonald's fries, free Slurpees, and $1 million lottery in Ohio to get people to get their jabs, and they're still not doing it. Mm. This vaccine machine is not going according to their plan, but there's more people that need to withhold so that we can actually get the message out. Now, if you don't have anything else to say, I wanted to actually go through a couple of these cuckolding comments, because the comments itself, when you look under these tweets about not wearing, about getting fully vaxxed, but still wearing your mask, are so incredible, but it shows the state of mental illness of the people that were
walking. I'm sure they're amazing. And the only thing that I would add at this point is I'm kind of okay with these people continuing to wear their mask. It's a really easy way to identify who these dirty people are. I mean, if you are really willing to cover your face with a scientifically unproven, dirty cloth piece of nonsense that's been dropped on your floorboard or, you know, fell out of your vehicle or rubbed
the
up against
of
whatever.
Women's purses.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe you've even kissed somebody through your mask barrier, you know, like the Kamala Harris did, you know, when she was standing there on the tarmac, virtue signaling. I mean, these are disgusting pieces of cloth. And if they are the homemade pieces of cloth, which you then, of course, have the responsibility of washing, which If you live that part of your life like you do the rest of it, we're sure that that is falling apart as well, not going as planned. But maybe, you know, you're more responsible. Maybe you have that box of them in your vehicle, you know, still fresh in the package. Maybe you do use a new one every day, which is great because then you can unseal your third world country packaging where these have been pulled off of the floor of, you know, these Ebola infested, malaria ridden plants where we have shown video on this program multiple times where these things are made. So it'll be an easy way to keep these dirty, morbidly obese, disease-infested scum, mentally challenged and socially ill people away from us, because you'll be able to see them from a distance and then, you know, treat them as the real thing to fear, because that would be what I would really be fearful of, if anything, is that I'm walking amongst people like this.
Right, you're right. They're the real lepers, you know, and they need to be treated as such. We need to say, oh my God, what's wrong with you? Gross. You're wearing a mask. That's disgusting.
Yeah. And I don't even have to engage in conversation with them. And I'd prefer not to, because that would mean that I would have to be within a couple of hundred yards of them for them to hear me. And that's just too close. I will just stay out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. They're the real filthy ones. And we need to treat them as such.
Dirty. Disgusting.
Don't shed on me. We need to start waving those flags. Don't shed on me. So here's just a few of these comments. And the article, the latest one today, is they're vaccinating and keeping their masks on forever. So that's the big New York Times article today that's trending on Twitter. One little slave says, I will keep mine on because they have cute masks on designs and I don't have to show my face to all of you people. Great. Someone else says, exactly. I will keep my masks on forever because I spent all last year color coordinating my masks with my outfits. Mm. So let's not breathe fresh oxygen because you would rather color coordinate this piece of
cloth. I did.
Yeah.
He just said in my ear, you predicted this. You predicted that these would be fashion statements. Yes, I did. I said, watch. Right at the beginning of this thing, I was like, watch. These will be all over Amazon. These will be all over your Facebook time feed. These sponsored ads will be popping up everywhere. Look at this cute little design. Seriously, you got to see this. Oh, my God. Don Lemon was like, I got to have them.
Right. Because they're so stupid and a lot of women are so gullible. They're like, oh, my God, it's a fashion statement. I have to wear it because the Kardashians wear this mask. Okay. So another guy says, I plan. And remember, these are full grown men. It's so embarrassing that they're saying things like it's full grown man. At least he looks like that in the picture. Says, I plan to keep wearing my mask forever, even though I'm fully vaccinated. Why? No reason. Just feel better with one on. These fully grown men have the need for this little safety blanket because they're so scared of the life experiences. They're so scared of going out in the real world without a mask on and protection, without a face condom on. And then this total asshole wins asshole woman of the month. She said, I just told a server he'd get better with tips if he wore his mask over his nose. I'm fully vaccinated. I just don't want to risk anyone. Are you kidding me? I'm pretty sure that woman got her food spit in or vomited in by this waiter. But I can't believe that, of course, this is the kind of arrogance that this has grown from the haves and the haves nots. Right. I wear my mask so I'm morally superior over you little plebs, you servants. And I'm going to tell you what to do. And then a few more quick comments from someone saying, I'm wearing my mask as long as I shall live. I don't care about what other people think. My husband, my teens, and I are all vaccinated. Yes, we are a family who believes in science, and we love Dr. Fauci.
Wow. Awesome. All in. I mean, that is as all in as you can get. We believe in science. We love Dr. Fauci. For those teens, they have no hope for anything in their life. I mean, they are done. Write them off.
Yeah. I almost want to say I feel sorry for them, but like, I guess you don't choose your parents, but that's a bad deck of cards that got handed to them there. A few more quick ones. I'm fully vaccinated and I was going to attempt my very first store outing in 14 months with a mask, but now I feel uncomfortable in the midst of a maskless, whether they or not they were vaccinated. What? Like, you're fully vaccinated and you haven't even been to a store in over a year. And now you're worried that other people are going to give you COVID. Do the masks work or the masks don't work? Which one is it? And then a bunch of other people saying they're fully vaccinated, but they're still going to wear masks because A, They feel like people are filthy.
This is not a comedic sketch. I mean, this is real. These people.
No, this is real. These are real.
This isn't satire. This isn't tabloid. This is actually happening.
This is actually happening. And again, this was the fail of the CDC and the orchestrators of COVID part, because they thought that this was going to be a big divide once people got vaccinated. They would show this contrast of the haves and the haves nots, right? Vaccinated sections at baseball games versus unvaccinated sections, vaccinated concerts versus unvaccinated concert sections. So they were going to show this big divide, and then it would motivate people to get the vaccine because, oh, I want to be in that section. I want to be in this caste. And they're creating this caste system. But the caste system they were trying to create didn't quite go according to plan, because all they didn't realize, they underestimated the beta, the cuckery of all these people that wear masks permanently. And they didn't realize just how much, how prone to slavery conditioning that they were. So, of course, that caste, that contrast they were trying to create did not work so well. And the last comment from Mast and Vast for Your Protection. Yes, this is an actual Twitter name. I will continue to wear my mask because people are dirty. So again, this COVID has conditioned people to believe that other people are dirty and filthy, and that they can't even engage with them, hug them, make eye contact, because other people are filthy and they're unsafe, which is, of course, an extremely dangerous mindset to be drilling into people for humanity, for the sake of humanity, because of social distancing. And then one last funny one, I forgot to mention this one. I'm keeping my mask on for life. I got the vaccine so I could do most normal activities and not have a long haul virus, because that rumor about the virus being a long haul. But unfortunately, now I'm long hauling symptoms with the vaccine, so I don't have the energy to go out now anyways. So you can't even make this up. So now he was getting the vaccine because he was so afraid of long haul symptoms from the virus, from COVID. But now he has long haul permanent symptoms from the vaccine. And now he doesn't even have the energy to go out of his house. You can't make this up. This is the epitome of irony. It's so disgusting. It's so ridiculous. But this is what they're trying to create for us. And I have to say, it's been very successful. They want to turn us into a dystopian, sick, loveless, joyless, sexless, human contactless future, Stu. And if we don't stop it, if we say no, no to vaccine passports, if we don't say no, we're not going to comply to these measures over and over again, this is the dystopian future that they're headed towards, and they're going to be successful. Shots fired.
Wow. None of that sounds fun. None of that sounds any good at all.
Not loveless, not human contactless, not the other things.
Sexless. A sexless existence. well,
that's
you.
What we're heading towards.
No,
you can't
you.
Really have sex with people if you're you know, social distance, 6 feet away, and engaging in mass and glory holes as the CDC recommends, remember.
Unbelievable. Get her book. It's called Taking Back America. You can find her at DeannaLorraine.com. She joins us every day here as well for Shots Fired. Deanna Lorraine, thank you so much for being here. I have to go take a shower now.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, we have talked about the catastrophic damage of the increase in minimum wage. It has bankrupted the backbone of the American economy, which is small business. People can't afford to pay all of their employees $15 an hour. And a lot of these minimal jobs, these entry-level positions, high school kids, they just don't require $15 an hour in exchange for the duties that are being performed by these entry-level employees in the workforce. I mean, that's just what common sense tells you. But they're doing it anyway. There's been a huge push. It started with McDonald's. Now that it's passed, this is federal minimum wage thing, and it's going to destroy and put out of business so many small business owners that just will not be able to survive being around anymore. And that's catastrophic to the economy because, as we know, the backbone, as I say all the time, to this amazingly strong economy, what it once was the small businesses, small business owners, entrepreneurs, people who employ, 2 to 14 people. That's huge in this country. But it will go away as a result of this $15 minimum wage. But Bank of America, the people that were unlawfully spying on you, voluntarily giving your information to the FBI, to Biden's DOJ, if you were in or around the Ellipse or the Capitol or inside of Washington, D.C., on or around the 6th of January. Yes, those people, the spies, the snitches, the CCP-backed Bank of America is now pledging that by 2025, they will increase their minimum wage to $25 per hour, which will no doubt create a ton of pressure amongst the rest of the industry to follow suit and do the same exact thing. What will it do to small business? What will it do to the economy? Here to talk with us about this is Carlos Cortez. Carlos Cortez is the independent fiduciary and CEO at Cortez Wealth Management. I'm having some technical difficulties, but here he is. He is also an America First patriot. He's a husband. He's a father. And Cortez Wealth Management is home of the America First Retirement Plan. Carlos, welcome. This is tragic. This is going to be horrible for our economy. Tell us how.
You know, it's big news. It is big news. Thanks for having me again, Stu. When it comes to increasing wages and the minimum wages, somebody is going to pay for it. You know, somebody's going to pay for it. I look at it in both ways. There's two sides of the coin here. The first one is, are they getting rid of the tellers? Are they getting rid of the tellers? Are they becoming more robotic when you walk into a lobby? You notice that you can have a virtual teller and you're no longer confined to $500 withdrawals. You can take up to $3,500 withdrawals. I bank at Chase, so that's how it works at Chase. And I can go to any Chase bank in their lobby and pull out $3,500 on the spot, which is pretty nice. However, you just kicked out, you know, Arlene the teller, that, you know, she's a mom and she has kids, and you featherboarded, technology has featherboarded that teller. Just like the railroad track conductor back in the day, we used to have the guy or gal pull out the railroad arms down, but now we have sensors that do it and it's been replaced by technology. So are they cutting that job out and then kind of increasing it? Increasing the minimum wage, finding a way to increase minimum wage by cutting jobs. I assume that's one aspect of it. The second thing that's detrimental is the other side of the fence that you're referring to is, what are we going to do when it's $25 an hour minimum wage? What that's going to do for people like me, I got to compete with that. Now, anyone that walks in the door as I grow, I'm not able to hire anybody less than $25 here, you know, to welcome clients if they walk in or to do any administrative staff, because they can just go to Bank of America, get a massive 401k match, which is going to destroy them in taxation later on. You know, so I'm a small business owner is competing with a mega, let's call it for what it is, oligopoly. You know, there's only like three banks that own the whole gamut of, you know, the banking industry. JPMorgan Chase had about $1.5 billion in overdraft fees in 2020. And Wells Fargo had 1.3. Bank of America had over $1.1 billion in overdraft fees. So how are they going to pay for this $25 an hour? Well, are they going to increase the overdraft fees and, you know, kind of bank on the unfortunate uncircumstances of Americans? We don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. But the main thing is, do business locally with a credit union, a smaller bank. FDIC, unfortunately, has about 3 to 5% net requirement to have your funds guaranteed. So when people say, "Oh, it's FDIC," yeah, but you know, in order to be FDIC, you only need 3 to 5% capital to reserve your money. We specialize in my firm. I like products that are 100% guaranteed using insurance-based companies, where you get dollar for dollar on your monies. One lady called them a GIC, a guaranteed insurance contract. But that's the reality, Stu, is simply the fact that we're going to, you know, they're going to raise the job minimum wage. And then secondly, where are they going to get the revenue to justify this? And it's not just inflation.
Wow. So many different angles there that, you know, the normal person doesn't think about. They just see the $25. That's why we rely on you. And you guys can rely on this guy also. He's an independent fiduciary. That means that you don't do well unless your customers do well. You also put our republic first, your family and God, and not necessarily in that order. But, you know, if you have the same values, then you should be doing business with somebody that you share those values with. You know, and the Biden presidency has a lot to do with the economic situation, your future, your financial future. It's not faux pas to talk about politics with Carlos either, because he understands that that directly impacts and greatly affects the way that you invest and the way that he will advise you to invest. So don't do business with the pro-Biden advisor, the CCP-backed, Wall Street-manipulated, a big bank franchise, like you mentioned a couple of them. Don't do business with these people. Give Carlos a call in his office anytime, 813-448-3446, or visit him online at CortezWM.com.